This is when the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend. It was the loveliest party that I've ever attended. If anything was broken, I'm sure it could be mended. This is where the party ends. I'll just sit here wondering how you stand by your racist friend. I know politics for you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you, you and your racist friend. This is when the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics for you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend.
Whoa, they might be giants.
That's with right.
Your racist friend.
A racist friend.
I had never heard of that one before. And I like They Might Be Giants.
Oh, yeah, me too.
This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM. And you've been listening to They Might Be Giants. And right now, you're listening to us online through Live 365. But soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. Adding local color to your airwaves.
That's right.
Now, last time we were talking about blame game, the blame game that is currently taking place in the media and against the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of backlash all over the country, all over the media. It seems very orchestrated to me. So we're going to talk about today the thug life. I'm calling this episode The Thug Life.
Okay.
The Audacity of Being White.
The Audacity of Being White.
Which includes the privilege to ignorantly say and do things that are completely the opposite of what you think you're doing and saying.
Okay.
So, for example, let me give you a funny little example.
Explain this to me.
I'm going to explain it. So remember we talked about polite white supremacy?
Oh yeah.
Okay. This is sort of, it goes along with the current blame game that is being placed upon Black Lives Matter, which is part of the polite white supremacy of making sure that you're comfortable, that white folks are comfortable in control and that everything stays confidential.
That's right.
Shh.
The three C's.
Shh. Right. So there is a story in the Borowitz report. This is a satire. This is a satirical piece. Okay. But it's funny because it is it shows the audacity of being white, or, you know, the audacity of America's whiteness and white supremacy playing out in the media, in the Donald Trumps of the world, in all of this stuff. And it says, Andy Borowitz is an American comedian and New York Times bestselling author who satirizes the news for his column, The Borowitz Report.
Okay.
And this is what he wrote about. The headline is, Nation of Crumbling Bridges Excited to Build Giant Wall. And it's talking about how United States, even as it literally is falling apart, this country is literally falling apart. Up in Minneapolis, we had a bridge fall.
Had a bridge fall right down, right into the Mississippi River.
And people were injured and people were killed.
Yeah. And I drove over that bridge a lot all the time, right downtown in Minneapolis.
Yeah. I mean, for folks here locally in the Minnesota in area, in North Dakota area where we're from, that was really terrifying.
It was.
There was a lot of people injured, and it really brought to light the crumbling infrastructure of this country, how little America has really invested in its roads and bridges and highways and structures. And the idea that a president for the candidacy of the United States and the Republican Party, or for any other party for that matter, that they wouldn't be focusing on those types of priorities for building up America to make America great, especially if you're a so-called builder.
That's right.
That you would prioritize building a hate wall along the Mexican border just to keep out the people that are building a lot of the stuff in this country is so ridiculous irresponsible and just plain racist.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, you know, this kind of illustrates, this show is illustrative of how ridiculous the racism is. It's kind of a cut off your nose to spite your face type of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And, He writes, as America's bridges, roads, and other infrastructures dangerously deteriorate from decades of neglect, there is a mounting sense of urgency that it is time to build a giant wall. Across the U.S., whose rail system is rickety, antique, plagued by deadly accidents, Americans are increasingly recognizing that building a wall with Mexico and possibly another one with Canada should be the country's top priority. Harold Derenson, the executive director of a Washington-based think tank called the Center for Responsible Immigration, believes that most Americans favor the building of a border wall over extravagant pet projects like structurally sound freeway overpasses. The estimated cost of a border wall with Mexico is $5 billion, he said. We could easily blow the same amount of money on infrastructure repairs and have nothing to show for it but functioning highways.
That's right.
Congress has dragged its feet on infrastructure spending in recent years, but Dorenson senses growing support in Washington for building a giant border wall. Even if for some reason we don't get Mexicans to pay for it, $5 billion is a steal, he said. So, I mean, I know it's kind of tongue in cheek, but really it's not, because it's not. The people that are supporting Trump and other people that, almost all of the Republican candidates.
Yeah.
And even the Democratic candidates like Hillary that still support the border wall.
That's right.
And securing the border wall. And, you know, that rhetoric is very hateful and targeted at a problem that doesn't need a solution.
Yes.
There's been a zero net migration from Mexico since 2005, which means that the number of people leaving Mexico and the number of people going to Mexico has essentially been a wash. It is equivalent of zero.
Yeah.
And yet people keep saying that there is a problem of immigrants from Mexico coming here. No, there is a problem because the people that are already here and have been here, 40 to 60% of them who are immigrants that have been here for 10 or 15 years or longer.
Wow.
Have to live in the shadows and have to live exploited lives because of people's xenophobia and hatred of their neighbors.
Yes.
In a country that purports itself to be
Christian. Yes.
And welcoming, and except for brown people, apparently.
Yes. And foreigners
and black people, because we don't like those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the true racist nature of and culture that permeates this country is showing itself in many ways. And one of those ways is in the austerity politics.
Okay.
That people keep saying time. You've seen it locally.
I hear it all the time.
They've been talking about, you know, folks here getting, remember that story about the people that were taking vegetables from the community garden?
Oh, the garden bandits, a garden gang or something they're calling
Right.
it.
Now they're calling them a gang. They went from calling them bandits and criminals and thieves. Now they're now they're a gang.
Now they have a new gang task force in Fargo. It's for the garden gang.
Yeah. The lick squad in the garden gang.
That's right.
It's not funny because it's really targeting people that are people of color in our community. But what it says is that there are certain people that we can, you know, put the pink triangle on,
mm-hmm.
or the Star of David on, and then we can march them off into detention centers and or facilities, and then have them killed.
Yeah.
With gas or with drones at the border, like Ann Coulter is calling for.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Or just starve out in the desert.
That's what we've been doing to Mexicans for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's mass graves all over our border. Mm-hmm. We are not addressing those kinds of human rights abuses or the ones that are occurring in detention centers. Instead, we are turning the table, turning the script, ignoring the outcry of injustice and human rights abuses against Black people, against immigrants and Mexican people in this country, and against people of color. And that is the real red herring in the story. That's what's really going on. Those austerity things are just fake outs. It's supposed to get this dog whistle reaction from white people when you say, but what about the veterans?
Yes.
We haven't helped all the veterans yet.
Yeah, we got to help the people here before we help anyone else.
Right? That's kind of... But see, the thing is, we are greedy and we don't really help people.
No, we don't.
We say that we help people, but you know what? The richest people in this country actually give the least amount of money to charity and churches and supports. While the federal government keeps cutting the supports that mm-hmm. are meant to help the majority of people, half of... whom are below the poverty level in this country now, mm-hmm. they say, well, the charities and the churches and all of those things are supposed to take care of that. And yet the majority of those organizations only contribute a tiny fraction.
Because they need to get money from the people. They're not self-sustaining. They have to,
right.
they have to come from the community.
And the richest people give the least.
That's right.
And the poorest people in this country actually give the most.
The most.
And you know who the poorest people in this country are? It is not the white people.
That's right. It's people of color.
Yeah, it is. And let me tell you something else. Most people are so greedy and tight-fisted and angry against helping Black and brown people that when you say the words foreign aid, they get angry. Why aren't we helping our own? Blah,
That's
blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. In fact, don't we have a video? Play that clip so people can hear what happens when people find out the actual amount of foreign aid that the United States
mm-hmm.
actually spends. Because Americans think it's a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with their bias and their desire not to try and help people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this.
What do you think about the money the U.S. spends on foreign aid and why?
I don't believe in it. I mean, I believe that they could do a lot of things to help this country out a lot better. Why can't they just focus on their own country for once?
I think it's great that the U.S. goes out and help other people, but there are people here who need to be helped. You know, if you walk around here like at night, we have people, veterans even, sleeping on the concrete. How are we going to clean up somebody else's backyard when ours is a mess?
I'm actually not too savvy with where our aid is going.
I think that it needs to be scrutinized. They can come up with some better assessments on what's being spent and where it's being spent.
I feel like we need to get ourselves stable, and then we can help others, but it's going to be hard to help others if we're bankrupt.
And what percentage of the U.S. budget do you think is spent on foreign aid?
If I had to take a guess, it's probably somewhere between 30 and 40%.
Maybe 15, 20%.
5%?
Probably say at least 50% of it.
What would you say if I told you it's actually less than 1%?
Less than 1%. Well, that is a little appalling considering our position globally.
It's a shame, 1%.
Wow.
How many people do you think are receiving life-saving AIDS treatment?
I don't think it's very many at all.
100,000, maybe.
I would say it's less now.
So it's actually 8 million people are getting AIDS treatment.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a great progression from what it was.
8 million. Good grief.
Oh, wow. 8 million?
How many people do you think new agricultural programs have helped in just 20 years?
6 million.
Maybe several hundred thousand?
20 million.
Upwards of 10 million.
Would you believe me if I told you there's a billion people that have been helped with these programs?
That is amazing.
Wow, that's good. That's
awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So, along with other countries, the U.S. has helped make these successes possible. Do you think it's important that we continue to be a global leader on these issues?
We can take the responsibility to help others, and we should take that responsibility.
We are privileged to live in, like, such a developed country, and I believe it's our duty to help less privileged countries around the world.
What message would you give to members of Congress who are considering cutting these life-saving programs?
I mean, I would tell them not to do it because it can only benefit global perception of us. So if we're out helping people, obviously people will be more inclined to help us.
I wouldn't mind less than 1% of my tax dollars going to support these.
For me to be that far off on my numbers is surprising. I think it's great, though. I mean, I'm glad that I'm wrong.
I would probably say it's not that much. But there's a lot of other things we should probably make cuts on.
It doesn't make any sense to cut the budget. I mean, you're already using such a little percentage.
Get in their shoes and then make a decision. And I think the decision would be a lot better if you kind of knew the people that you were making the decision about.
Wow.
So, did you hear how those, by the way, those folks came from different backgrounds. There were some black and other minority people in that video.
Yeah.
Because people can't see through the radio.
That's true.
But you can find that link on our website at kpppfm.com. And then you just click on the podcast link and
watch for yourself, you know?
Yeah, you can watch these yourself. But, you know, even those people, they changed their mind, even though they, most of them had this idea that these folks really didn't deserve help, that we should, you know, they had these very nationalistic views that we should help here, people at home, before we help anybody else, right?
We're spending too much money on that stuff. We need to spend it here.
This stuff, listen to my beautiful white folks out there, being nationalistic when it comes to saying us first, we don't have enough for anyone else, that's unchristian.
It is.
And as coming from a person of indigenous background whose ancestors were pushed to the brink of genocide by the missionaries, by the conquerors that came here to take over our land and force us to learn and to worship God and to know God and to know the Bible and to know our faith. I don't know if you folks know this, but it says very clearly in the Bible, we're supposed to help those in need.
Mm-hmm.
Even the widow with two mites, because she was the one that had the least, she was seen as giving the most.
Yeah,
because she gave all she had.
Mm-hmm.
And there's story after story. For example, when Elijah goes and asks a woman who's about to run out of food, her and her kid about to run out of food. And he says, I want you to give me something to eat. And she says, all right, well, this is all I was going to eat. I didn't have anything more to eat. And after this, I was going to lay down and die. And she was rewarded because of her giving of everything that she had. We're not supposed to be stingy.
Mm-hmm.
God's, if this is a God-fearing nation, God's going to provide for what he sends you. And the sending of refugees, the sending of children, the sending of people and help, that's supposed to be viewed by a nation that believes in God and is following Christian principles, as so many in the leadership of this country claim. It's supposed to receive them as treasures sent from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's That's biblical. Go look it that is. Stuff up and read it.
It is.
If you don't know that, then how can you be calling yourself Christians? Mm-hmm. How come you wiped out so many of my people and you don't even know your own stuff?
Exactly.
That's not right.
No.
That makes me angry. It makes me think, you know, when white people in the social media and in the news are running around calling black people thugs and saying this and that. No, the thug life is the audacity of being white mm-hmm. and ignorant and presumptuous and thinking that you can dictate to people of color how they should liberate themselves and when and how polite they should be while they ask for their beg for their lives. It's a tough topic to talk about, but we can't, as people of color, we can't wait anymore politely for white people to listen. That's why people are out in the streets yelling Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
And it's going to keep happening. You're going to keep mm-hmm. hearing it. We're going to keep repeating it here at kpppfm.com. Why? Because Black lives do matter, and it should matter to everyone that we are losing Black brothers and sisters' lives every single day. Yeah. Precious children's lives, mothers' lives, fathers' lives, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles. This shouldn't be happening Mm-mm. in a country where we already have 1 in 3 Black men will face prison jail mm-hmm. time in their lifetime. This is a human rights nightmare. This is a continuation of the greatest sin, the continuation of slavery and control over Black bodies in this country.
Yeah.
And a continuation of an ignorance, a willful ignorance of past sins with regard to the treatment of Native nations, Indigenous people, Mexicans, and Black people in this country, and being able to be ignorant, even though those are historical facts, while at the same time denying that racial animus and racial discrimination even exist in this country yeah, anymore.
Exactly. Wow.
That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the real thug life, the audacity of being white in America. We're talking about whiteness in the context of white supremacy, a culture of white supremacy on which this country was founded. No, obviously, since I am married to a white man, I do not believe all white people are like that. I pray more and more white people are allies to the Black Lives Matter movement and not lukewarm, to find, you know, fault with, impatient, mm-hmm. Looking for reasons to be aggrieved so that you can cut and run type of supporters. But, you know your lane, support,
yep.
and let them lead the way to their own liberation. That's type right. of supporters.
That's right.
That's the kind of supporters that we want.
Definitely. Got to check it before you wreck it.
Yes. And, you know, we want to hear outspoken, community-minded, media justice, social justice-oriented folks commenting and sharing with us what they think.
Definitely.
Topics, ideas, everything. Right now, you're listening to us broadcasting live on 365 Live, right?
That's correct. Live 365.
I always get it backwards.
Well, it's the same two words together, just switch them around. And you're going to be able to find us on the radio dial at 88.1 FM once we get on the air in the next couple months here in Fargo-Moorhead mm-hmm. region. And we would really like to hear from you. You can contact us by calling 701-566-0917. It's a voicemail phone call. You know, so we'd like you to leave us your name.
And your town.
And your town. And give us a comment. We could play it on the air. Or mm-hmm. you can tweet us at media_PPP. We also have email, cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com.
Yeah. We do have to have your name in town. We do not accept anonymous comments from the audience. Now, we can, at your request, keep your comment anonymous.
That's right.
But we need to know where the comment came from.
Definitely.
Because, you know, we can't allow things such as threats and such to not be sourced, or comments that could be considered slanderous or hurtful to other people to be republished without knowing the source.
That's right.
We can't have them attributed to our station and our work.
So do us that favor. Tell us who you are.
So yeah, you have to tell us who you are.
You got to tell us who you are. You want to fight racism? You want things to change? Stand up. Be who you are.
Yeah.
Be visible.
Mm-hmm. Or you can tell us also through Twitter at @media_PPP. That's another way to get a hold of us.
That's true. Yeah.
And you can even email us.
Yeah. I gave those out. Cindy@kpppfm.com or Duke@kpppfm.com.
Yeah. And then you can write more and, you know, give us a longer message or whatever.
Definitely.
Anyway, you can also find all of our updates on stories that we'll be talking about and topics that we find interesting. Other people suggest topics there as well. At the People's Press Project.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook. So,
yes.
Today, again, we're talking about the audacity of being white. And we have a new story that kind of follows up on what I was discussing yesterday about blaming black people in the Black Lives Matter movement for inciting hatred against police officers.
That's right.
So, following just the very last show that we did, now it's all over the news on Fox News and all these places that this Black Lives Matter, that this death in Texas of this deputy is being called, the fault, the leadership of the Black Lives Matter movement. And this guy, Deputy Darren Goforth, was killed by a just random black guy. He didn't have any connection to the Black Lives Matter movement. He didn't say he had any connection to the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay. So how people are making this connection is all in their head.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no evidence to point out that this is true. But that hasn't stopped some cuckoo named Nathan Erner. Cuckoo is too nice. He's like a white supremacist correctional officer dude. And I'm not going to play his horrible audio of his tape. If you want to, you can go find it on the link on our website and listen to it yourself. But I will mention that he said some pretty gruesome things that were very directly directed to the Black Lives Matter movement in general.
Oh, yeah.
All of them. Black people in general, for that matter, from the way that I read it and heard it, and very Ku Klux Klanish, kill black people.
I'm going to track you down, at night in your homes,
Yeah. I mean, the guy said, it's going to end with that. That's not going to happen anymore. That's the end of it. Y'all have pushed us to the limit and we ain't going to take it anymore. There's stuff that us citizens can do, and we're fixing to do them starting now. Us citizens, like black people and Black Lives Matter movement people, aren't citizens.
Yeah.
You see how weird that language is?
Yeah.
And then this this guy says, the one that killed him was these Black Panthers and all these black thugs that comes to your town and marches and hollers, oink, oink, bang, bang, and all that retarded expletive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're the ones responsible for it. No, they're not, crazy person.
Yeah, very cray-cray.
The fact that Black Lives Matter is asking for an end to police brutality and police illegal activities by police killing, executing without due process black people for things that black people should not be even arrested for, much less executed for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is not the equivalent of whatever the heck this crazy rant is about, killing an officer. He literally is making that leap. And again, Fox News had dubbed the Black Lives Matter movement a murder movement. That's what Fox News did.
Oh, boy.
On their screen graphic on Monday during a segment with the Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark.
Okay.
Who's this wacko black dude who accused Barack Obama of launching a war on police. And these people are just promoting violence against the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh,
really.
definitely. And they're using propaganda.
While at the same time saying that the Black Lives Matter movement is promoting violence against police.
Yeah.
Where we have to protect ourselves from these Black Lives Matter movement people who are... The only reason that the Black Lives Matter movement exists is because police are killing too many black people. Mm-hmm. Wake up. Stop lying. Stop it.
We have to wake up and not watch Fox News. Remember, we reported before in one of our shows that you're actually smarter, more in tune to what's going on in this world if you don't watch Fox News.
I know.
So we have to unplug from Fox News is one of the things we need to do.
Yeah. And this guy is, I mean, this is really scary. There's absolutely no connection between the Black Lives Matter movement and a handful of people that chanted something about pigs in a blanket, cook them like bacon or something at a Black Lives Matter movement protest, that rally that was held, march that was held at the Minnesota State Fair.
That's right. It's actually after the rally. After the rally broke up and some people chanted, but it's being blamed on the whole Black Lives Matter movement. You know,
we talked about that in our last show. In fact. And people can find that on our website at kpppfm.com.
That's right.
We were talking about the blame that's being focused on Black Lives Matter and why that's such a fraud, why that just follows the narrative of this country demonizing the poorest, you know, segment of society, weakest segment of society, and targeting them for removal, extermination, concentration camps, etc. Yeah. We've done it before. We're doing it again. We continue to do this thing over and over and over again. And as I said in our last show, there's no excuse for it.
No.
As long as you listen to any of our shows, I'm not going to lie about it.
No, that's for sure.
But, you know, this is that same narrative over and over again. Now we're hearing it coming out of this earner dude who, by the way, has a history. He's been involved in confrontations with civil rights activist Cornell X over the mysterious death of Alfred Wright. And the Hemp Hill man has also promoted events by the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
So he has promoted events by the KKK and the Redneck Mafia. This is who this ex, he's a retired corrections officer. This is also part of his history. He's not just some retired corrections officer. And listen very carefully to what he says about where law enforcement is connected. And he's not asking, he's ordering. He says, when we get there, law enforcement, I'm talking to you now, Erner said. When we get there and we're going to be there, step aside. Our fight is not with you. It's for you. And he goes on to repeat this again. He says, now, and he says, I'm talking to you guys again. You're supposed to help us. He tells kids and grandmas to get involved by getting slingshots so that they can shoot them at cars of Black Lives Matter protesters and disabled those cars so that those people will have to flee on foot so that they'd be easier pickings for Erner and his pals.
Oh, my God.
And he also warns that specifically Black Lives Matter protesters and activists, that they are being watched on videos, that they're being identified, and that they're being
personally targeted.
And then he goes on to cock a shotgun and then says, that's the last sound. The last freaking thing that sons of bees will ever hear is that noise when we're out there, when we come into your goddamn house, Erner warned.
Oh, boy.
Don't ever threaten another cop in Texas. Don't ever threaten another white person, you black bastards, you goddamn panthers, and bleep. Mm-hmm. Try to come to another town and try to march. See what happens to you. He is warning these people. If they march to protest their indiscriminate killing, every single day by police officers, by police authority, that police ex-officers like him mm-hmm. and police with his help,
yeah.
with the help of the police, he and other people and his and people he supports like the KKK mm-hmm. are going to come together to run those people out of their towns and kill them.
Exactly. That's what he said.
Yeah, it is what he said. This is also a guy that goes on a rant during this tape about how the people that are trying to name the street where Sandra Bland was killed in Texas after Sandra Bland mm-hmm. are ridiculous, that that town should not do that, that she was a thug, she was filled with drugs. I mean, all of it, it's
all lies.
It's
all lies.
It's so the audacity of being white.
Exactly.
That's the real thug life mm-hmm. that an ex correctional officer can go on YouTube and say all of this stuff and not immediately be arrested.
That's right.
And threaten the lives of activists in this country. We are no better than the people that allowed this government in collusion with police and other people in power and authority in this country to kill Malcolm X, to kill Martin Luther King, to exile and imprison Assata Shakur, and kill and imprison a lot of other civil rights activists within the Black Panther movement, within the Black Panthers, within the AIM movement, mm-hmm. within the Brown Berets and the Chicano movement in the 60s.
Exactly.
No different, possibly way, way worse.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've got Fox News and others in the press asking Black Lives Matter leaders and coalition organizers trying to end police terrorism in this country and mm-hmm. in their communities to stop putting police at risk. Don't they feel responsible? Blah, 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 blah. We have a clip from a press conference.
Yes,
where a reporter is doing this. Before we go to break, because I think I need to take a little break here, I want you to play that clip.
Okay.
And listen, because folks need to hear this is a response to all of those folks out there living the white life and the audacity of being white asking these kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
How dare these Black folks fight for their lives? Listen to the answer.
One could argue that the name of the group, the Coalition to Combat Police Terrorism, is a challenging name, perhaps a slightly incendiary name.
Oh, okay, let me ask that.
And the let me finish my question. And there's been criticism that anger in the community fueled the killing of the two police officers in New York. Do you have a responsibility to exercise restraint in terms of that kind of rhetoric?
No. Let me be very clear. That's why we share a coalition here. You see, I'm going to say what's true, whether you like it or not, or whether you think it's combative or not. First of all, the United States uses war terms in almost every policy that it implements, domestic and foreign. What's the war on terror? What's the war on drugs? What's the war on crime? What's the war on poverty? War is a slightly belligerent term, don't you agree? So, the use of terms to combat means that, to combat. We're not here to determine other people's political agenda. We're not here to tell other people how to think. We don't represent the politics of the Gardner family. We don't represent the politics of the Brown family. They're in grief, they lost their child, it launched a movement.
Yes, sir.
They are not our political leaders. This coalition says what it is, to combat police terrorism, because the police are terrorizing us and have been terrorizing us for what, 400 years now? They're the descendants of the Patty Rollers, remember them from New York? They're the descendants of the Ku Klux Klan. They're the descendants of the militias that used to go hunt slaves and run them down. That's what the police, that's how they police our community. Huh? If you think that that history is not worthy of the term combat, then you need to be 12 years a slave. So yes, we don't have no obligation to tone down our rhetoric. Who do we have an obligation to? CNN? To you? To white folks? Do we have an obligation in this society as the victims of white supremacy in this country to reform white supremacy? Do we have an obligation to make you feel better about yourself and better about your country? No. The coalition is to combat police terrorism.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from the flight deck. We're cruising at 37,000 feet. We just passed over the coast. We'll be beginning our descent in about 30 minutes. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to America.
Yeah.
I was made in America, land of the free, home of the brave. And right up under your nose, you might see a sex slave being traded. And we'll do anything for the money. Boy, mama might sell her babies. Sell porn, sell pills, anything to pay the bills, anything to bring that pace. Gotta scratch that itch, gotta scratch them ticks. Ain't rich, but I might be. And I'ma shoot these flicks, I'ma turn these tricks, anything for a slight fee. Yeah, made in America. Mama told me that I belong here. Had to earn our stripes, had to learn our rights, had to fight for a home here. But I wouldn't know a thing about that. All I know is drugs and rap. I probably could have been some kind of doctor instead of holding guns and crack. I was born in the mainland. Great grandpa from a strange land. He was stripped away and given bricks to lay. I guess you could say he a slave hand. But I was made in America, so I don't know a thing about that. All I know is Uncle Sam looking for me, working on his corner, so I know I gotta pay tax. Getting paid in America. I was raised in America. And this is all I ever known. If I'm wrong, then you better come save me, America. Welcome to 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 America. Man, I die for America. I served my time for America. Got shot, shot back, went to war, got back, and ain't nobody give a jack in America. I could have lost my life, why I lost my wife. I can't even get right in my homeland. Cold sweats, whole text, paranoid, looking out for a threat in my own land. I was trained in America. How to get up in the planes in America. Flew right into the buildings, taking out civilians. People getting killed in America. And I'm still in America. Though America ain't feeling me, I went to war for this country. Turn around, came home, and you grilling me? When y'all free here, saying you don't wanna be here. Well, you probably couldn't breathe here if I didn't load a couple magazines here. Y'all just complaining, America. I'm jumping out of military planes from America. Hey, I was made in America. That's why I'm out here saving America. I got a brother in the cemetery now, cause he wanted y'all safe. And everybody wants the freedom, but nobody wanna hear about face. We bled for America, to keep y'all fed in America. But what's the point of talking? A lot of y'all don't really even care, America. Welcome to 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 America. I wish I lived in America. Wanna raise my kids in America. Heard everybody rich, all I gotta do is run, jump, kick, I'm a hit in your area. So please pick me, America. I know you probably never loved me. You never hear about me on the news, and you probably never been to my country. I hear you selling education, and got clothes that you throw away. Got plenty food in your nation. I can tell cause a lot of y'all are overweight. I already work for y'all. I'm in the sweatshops making these shirts for y'all. Now I ain't getting money. Go to bed hungry. But I make some exports for y'all. But y'all don't know a thing about that. You was made in America. I'm trying to find me a ticket where the sky is the limit. Catch a plane to America. It should be plane to America. Y'all blessed and you got it made. Heard y'all don't pray no more. Y'all ain't say no more. Y'all looking for another way. Well, I hope it ain't true, but I'm packing my suit. Farewell to my motherland. Said bye to my loved ones. Fate, here I come. I'm going to another land. I done made it to America. I'm amazed at America. But I couldn't get approval to stay, so they sent me away from America.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
By Lecrae. That was awesome.
It was.
And very telling. And does really go well with our topic today of the thug life. The audacity of being white in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to KPPP LPFM, adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting on Live 365, and soon you will be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM here in the Fargo-Moorhead region.
Yes, we're adding local color to your airwaves.
Correct. And this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And people can contact us and tell us what they think about what we've been talking about today.
That's right.
Or other topics that you want to hear about.
We want to hear from you. In fact, we want you to participate. You can call us and leave a message at 701-566-0917. Tell us your name, where you live. Leave us a message. We may play it on the air. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP and email Cindy@kpppfm.com or Duke@kpppfm.com.
So a lot of this, you know, audacity of being white right now in America is manifesting in this white fragility, this freak out that white people are under attack. The same kind of, oh, we were afraid for our lives that you hear coming out of police officers before they're killing unarmed black and brown people. The same type of rhetoric that was espoused during the Nixon administration and three administrations before that, during which the FBI was actively going after surveilling, doing counterintelligence on illegally and unconstitutionally, it was found afterwards. But, you know, and the government participated in assassinations, even.
Yes.
These are people that were activists that were trying to fight for the liberation of people of color in the 60s. And even before that, there was a mass anti-immigrant movement after the during the Depression.
That's right.
Operation Wetback that forcibly removed tens of thousands, millions of people, but tens of thousands of U.S. citizens.
That's right. U.S. citizens got deported.
Yeah, they just got rid of Mexicans,
that's right.
Brown people. They didn't even care if they were Mexicans.
They rounded them up and then stuck them in trains and sent them to Mexico.
Just like we rounded up the Indians, just like we rounded up
the Chinese.
Yes, we've done this before. Mm-hmm. We've done this before. We're no different than Hitler. People always like to compare the worst atrocities with Hitler. We are way, way worse in America.
Yeah.
We committed the largest genocide. Hitler learned from us. So we can erase that. White people can erase that knowledge in America. Most white people don't even know that.
Exactly.
They don't know about the 100 million that was killed, Native Americans that were killed by Americans.
Yeah.
By the Europeans, the colonizers that came here.
And the Americans, once it was called America.
Right. But
kept on going, you know.
That ability to ignore and erase that, it creates cognitive dissonance.
It does.
When white folks don't feel comfortable, when white folks are not in control of every situation, and when they can't keep people, all of those things confidential and quiet, when they can't get us people of color and other white folks around them all to be in collusion, that we gotta keep it to yourself.
That's right.
Because if you talk about race, it just causes racism, you see.
I see. No, that's not true. I don't believe it.
I know, but we hear it all the time. Stop talking about it because you cause racism talking about it. No, that's ridiculous. Nothing is ended by just ignoring it, turning a blind eye to it, and not talking about it. If we could do that, if we just stopped talking about rape, maybe it would go away.
Yeah.
If we just stopped talking about hunger or poverty or homelessness, maybe we could just eradicate them if we didn't talk about them. Why do we have telethons?
Uh-huh.
That's ridiculous. Why do we even have charities and soup kitchens and all of the places that we have for things that we shouldn't talk about in a society unless we want to make them worse?
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's
very
a lie.
Naive. It's naive. It's lying.
It's not a lie. It's not naive. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
And definitely it is purposeful because those people do not want to recognize what's really going on. So when you hear these ridiculous stories, I'm like, okay, seriously, this is preposterous. Like, for example, the freak out over the mountain, Mount McKinley, was renamed its original name, Denali.
Yes.
And all over the news, people thought there was this meme, which was fake, by the way, saying that Obama had renamed the Mount McKinley, which they claimed had been named that way for hundreds of years, for over 100 years, to Denali, which means black power in Kenyan.
Oh.
That's what the meme said.
Okay.
And it was spread all over the place, and people believed it.
They did.
Now, this is ridiculous for many reasons.
Okay.
First of all, because Obama is not a Kenyan.
Yeah.
Also, in Kenya, they don't speak Kenyan, just like in Mexico, they don't speak Mexican.
That's right.
A lot of people don't know that.
Uh-huh.
But it's true. In Mexico, they speak Spanish and a lot of other native languages. And Spanish is not the official language. There are lots of different official languages. And the first official language of the United States was Spanish. So stop saying to people that we should only speak English here, because that's ridiculous, too. That's just racist stuff.
It is.
And in Kenya, they speak English or Swahili. Okay. The country has two official languages, and neither of them is Kenyan. Okay. So the other thing is that the reaction of other people in the media, Ben Shapiro and Donald Trump, they had to weigh in. Obviously, they didn't even bother to check on whether or not they should be upset about this Mount McKinley thing. But Ben Shapiro responded by on Twitter by saying that people should be grateful Obama didn't decide to rename Mount McKinley Mount Trayvon.
Oh, my God.
And do you get the racial subtext there?
Yes, of course.
This idea that he would make this into Black Mountain.
Yeah.
He's taking something that belongs to the whites.
That's right.
And this is a Native American land. This is on Native American land. The name Denali is the original name that the tribe that was, that you know, originally named it.
Yes.
Had always called it. And the name actually means the Great One.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good.
So it's such a ridiculous response, which shows you that the response to this shows you how all of this talk about how conservatives are just defending their religious views, or they're just defending America, or they're just defending tradition, or they're just defending honor and heritage. No, they're defending white supremacy. That's what they're doing.
Yes, pretty much.
This has obviously nothing to do with any of that stuff.
No.
It's just about straight up being mean, it seems to me.
Yeah.
How can you be the meanest? Just like what happened here in closer to home in news out of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation on Monday.
Okay.
Where it appears that Judge Eric Strawn will find Tracy O'Connell not guilty of that misdemeanor of disorderly conduct charges. This was the guy who was accused of spraying beer on the 57 Lakota students from the American Horse Day School at the Rapid City Rush hockey game on January 24th. He should have been charged with a hate crime.
That's right. That's right.
And not just him, a bunch of the other people that were there. They were yelling, "Go back to the reservation."
Yeah.
That's what he allegedly told the students.
Yeah, it's very hostile.
This is obviously a hate crime directed at people that have been subjected to genocide and hatred generationally.
Mm-hmm.
By this gentleman and his ancestors.
That's right.
And his ancestry in this country.
And on their
this isn't screamed from the top of the mountains by the media as a hate crime. He's not charged with a hate crime. Nobody is even considering how this has affected 57 kids.
Yeah.
The message that the slap on the wrist, there wasn't even a slap. He's not even going to be charged with a misdemeanor.
Wow.
That's the audacity of being white.
That is.
That's the real thug life.
It is.
Not just speaking out and saying that you want to live. The truth is, in America, the biggest threat to Americans isn't undocumented Mexicans.
No.
It isn't the Black Lives Matter protesters or their supporters. It isn't Muslims. It isn't foreign terrorists. It's the domestic white supremacists in this country.
That's right.
We have an article about this on kpppfm.com people can look at, that comes from the HuffPo. But there was a recent report study that found that, white supremacists are the largest most dangerous group. And this rhetoric in the news that tries to purport Black Lives Matter activists, organizers, peaceful protesters, people fighting for their lives, as the terrorists, as opposed to the police that are killing them,
mm-hmm.
or the politicians and leaders who are supporting those killings, or the people in the community, the white community, that continue to support the police blindly and or support the killing, continued killing of black people indiscriminately without justice. You are supporting all of that racism in this country. And the fact is that when you say that these folks are terrorists, you are ignoring the fact that terrorism in this country came because of Europeans coming here.
Yes.
That's when terrorism began here.
That's a definition of terrorism.
There was this guy named Pilgrim that was interviewed for the HuffPo article, who said that people in this country are always bemoaning terrorism since 9/11, and that's why they've done all the security and all the surveillance, and that's when they started saying that Mexicans are, you know, we need to kill them, we need to get rid of them, all this stuff. Since 9/11, all this stuff happened. And he said, white Americans are ignoring and trivializing, if not just summarily dismissing, all the people, especially the people of color in this country, who were lynched in this country, who had their homes bombed in this country, who were victims of race riots in this country, he said, evoking lynching victims who were often burned, castrated, shot, stabbed, and in some cases beheaded.
Wow.
And the right-wing media loves to talk about the barbaric beheadings and the actions of terrorists, people they consider terrorists.
That's right.
They try to compare all Mexicans with, like the people in the cartels, or mm-hmm. all Muslims with, yeah. like the people in ISIS.
That's right.
When the biggest threat, in actual fact, is coming from stateside white supremacists.
That's right.
And the terror and the killings of police. And that is part of the thug life that goes on in America. White folks need to stop acting like their lives are superior to the lives of everyone else. That's what Black Lives Matter is asking for.
That's right.
That black lives actually matter. Not that they matter more than any others, mm-hmm. that they have a value, because currently we give them none.
Exactly.
We ask that of all people of color's lives, but Black Lives Matter has to be heard. So in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, don't water it down. It doesn't matter if you come from a different group. We have to care about the deaths of our black brothers and sisters if we want their lives to matter, if we want our own lives to have value. Because when we ignore the dying and the suffering of our sisters and brothers next to us, we devalue life as a whole, and we deserve, all of us deserve to be treated equally. Okay.
Yes.
That's my view. I hope to hear from yours. And, I hope that you guys tune into our next show. This has been a program with Cindy and Duke Gomez-Shemp
mm-hmm.
on KPPPLPFM. We've been broadcasting online through Live 365. You'll be able to find us at FM 88.1. Adding local color to your airwaves in the upcoming months. Stay tuned for that. Also, check out our new Sunday Sabor Latino show in Spanish mm-hmm. at 6 p.m. And send us your messages at 701-566-0917 or at media_PPP on Twitter, or Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com through the electric email.
That's right.
On our way out, we got Bob Marley and the Song of War.
Until the philosophy which owed one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. And it's a war that until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality, will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war, war, and until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, subhuman bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. It's a war. War in the east, war in the west, war up north, war down south. War, war, rumors of a war. And until that day, the African continent will not know peace. We Africans will fight, we find it necessary, and we know we shall win, as we are confident in the victory.